and as simple as
Peter Tilden.
At 10!
Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden at 10 begins right now. Brought to you by, of course, Larry Miller and Sit and Sleep will be anyone's advertised price or your mattress is free. The phone number, if you choose to participate, and you should, 800-222-5222. Please call me about anything I'm talking about or whatever is on your mind, and there's a lot to talk about today. I also have tickets for Lady Antebellum and Darius Rucker, plus Rodney Carrington. We'll do that next hour. A couple days ago we did the quiz. There was great response, so maybe try another one today for a bit. We also have a fascinating guest on next hour. He wrote an article for The Atlantic called Germany's Refugee Detectives. The name's Graham Wood. He's the only journalist ever to be given full access to Germany's highly secretive Federal Office for Immigration and Refugees. And the article's mind-blowing on how they try and figure out who's an actual refugee that they should let in and who's not telling the truth and who they should keep out. Fascinating, and I'm sure we're doing some of those techniques here, but this thing has been cooking for a long time because Germany needs it with the influx of immigrants they had, the huge influx of immigrants they had, and the pushback that they got. They had to quell the political firestorm that was going on. So this Federal Office for Immigration and Refugees, they put the information out there so the public knows that they're vetting the refugees. They don't know exactly how they're doing it. So it's fascinating, fascinating article. Can't wait to talk to him. What you need to know now, the big story, Mark Anthony Condit appears to have been the Austin serial bomber. He blew himself up. His packages, of course, terrified Austin for it's been almost 3 weeks. Can you imagine working in a Federal Express place or a UPS place, knowing that potentially packages are coming in that can blow up? Anyway, they described him as 23 or 24 years old. They haven't even given his exact age yet. They said they knew he was a white man. And then what happened is they saw the video. His biggest error, I guess, was going to Federal Express because they had videos there of him. The mayor of Pflugerville said Condit lived about two blocks from him, about 20 miles north of Austin. Troopers from the Texas Department of Public Safety and the agents with the ATF cordoned off several blocks in the neighborhood where he lived. And of course, you're talking to friends, family. They're trying to get his computer and his entire footprint so they know what possible motive there was to this. He was apparently homeschooled. He received a degree from the Austin Community College's Northridge campus. He had worked at Crux Semiconductor in Austin and previously as a computer repair technician. Authorities were aided and the identity suspect by looking at these surveillance videos of Federal Express. That was his big mistake. The drop-off location just north of San Antonio, where he was allegedly seen entering with that package. So they did that. They got multiple images there from the surveillance video and were able to track him to a hotel parking lot near Austin by monitoring his cell phone activity. They did a great job here, by the way. Can you imagine how many deaths they may have prevented? They also obtained information from Google and from the suspect's computer history, they confirmed that he was looking at information on where to ship devices. Again, the biggest mistake was the FedEx thing that he did. They identified him about 9 p.m. on Tuesday. They determined the car he was driving and found it at a hotel in Round Rock, which is about 20 miles north of Austin. And then a SWAT team got together and assembled more firepower, was on the way when he saw what was going on. He attempted to flee. He ran into a ditch, and when they approached the car, he set off the explosion that apparently took his life. Of course, there were four exploding packages before that since March 2nd that killed two people and injured at least four more. And then you had the blast at the FedEx distribution center. And they're saying he was pretty well-trained. He knew what he was doing. He knew how to assemble these bombs. We don't know how he got the information, but then again, you can get almost any information now online. It's kind of insane. But he's dead. Congratulations to the Austin police and law enforcement. They did a great job and people can sleep easily at night. Of course, they have to still go through and vet the fact that he may have had somebody else working with him. Did he act alone? Was he influenced by a terror site? So far, none of that information has come out yet. any reason for his motive has not been determined yet. The only shame of him blowing himself up is that we won't necessarily find out about it, but I'm sure friends and family members will start coming forward and talking and being interviewed, and in dribs and drabs, we'll get a piece of a profile of this guy. Could it have been prevented? Just like a school shooter, could have there been intervention? Was he another angry young man? It didn't look like he was targeting anybody specifically, kind of all over the place. A roadside bomb, bombs at people's houses. It didn't seem that he had any connection to the people that he was blowing up. So maybe he just wanted to be famous. The scary thing about this is you're watching on the news. He's watching it on the news, and he's watching how they're investigating. He's watching where they're going, and he's planning his next bomb. That's the creepiest thing you can think of, is that he is watching everything we're watching, and he's planning his next move. So congratulations to them. They did a great job. Be careful today, by the way. The weather is supposed to be, as you heard, really bad weather. And you know what happens in Southern California with the weather? Driving goes crazy.
What's the weather? What's the weather? What's the weather like today? All together, what's the weather like today?
So I got to ask you a question about the weather here, okay?
Look, it's windy.
If I could stop the weather, hold on. Okay, but I need to ask you a question about the weather. So in the battle to control the weather, who would win? D.C. lawmaker Trayon White would say it's the Jews because they're manipulating the weather. There you go. But also, they manipulate the climate. Also, let's not forget, Hurricane Harvey in Texas was blamed by a pastor on gay marriage. So is it the Jews or the gays that are creating this weather? Or, wait a minute, you still have Native Americans. Some think they can do some kind of rites to get it to rain. So is it Elizabeth Warren's fault, potentially, that we're getting rain? Or is it, of course, and here go the phones, the chemtrails that are creating the rain that we are experiencing now? So your vote, chemtrails, the Jews, gay marriage, Native Americans, your pick. Actually, the weirdest thing about this is, if you want to talk about conspiracies dating back to something that may be kind of accurate, in 1953, the United States formed the President's Advisory Committee on Weather Control. Did you know this? We had an advisory committee on weather control, and its stated purpose was to determine the effectiveness of weather modification procedures and the extent to which government should engage in those activities. They felt then, if you could control the weather, you could control the world. They had us and the Soviet scientists discussed in the media during the 50s using colored pigments in the polar ice caps to melt them and unleash devastating floods, releasing large quantities of dust into the stratosphere, creating precipitation on demand, and even building a dam fitted with thousands of nuclear-powered pumps across the Bering Straits. This was envisioned by a Russian engineer. I won't give you his name. Which would redirect the waters of the Pacific Ocean, which would theoretically raise temperatures in cities like New York and London. So they can control the weather and destroy New York and London and flood them out. How wild is this? Rainmaking or weather control can be as powerful a war weapon as the atom bomb. The Nobel Prize winning physicist who created the bomb said at the time. And you know the TV show that what's his name does? Orville? The guy from Working Dad and whatever? In 1953, Captain Howard T. Orville was chairman of the President's Advisory Committee on Weather Control. They thought they could quite literally change the season by a system of levers and push buttons that they're trying to work on. So, and it was on the cover of a popular magazine. So the weather, guess what? The weather manipulation. I mean, the guy in Washington saying that it was the Rothschilds and the Jews, not necessarily, right? But Edward Teller, the father of the H-bomb, testified in 1958 in front of the Senate Military Preparedness Subcommittee. He was more confident of getting to the moon than changing the weather, but the latter is a possibility. So there you go. That they took it very seriously then. I love that Russia was going to try and attack us by flooding New York and London with a giant dam. Nobody, by the way, would know that they were building this giant dam. Nobody would spill the beans on that thing. And speaking of Russia, I got to ask you, 800-222-5222, if you're watching specifically CNN all day long, when they're not doing Stormy Daniels, what the question is now is how could the President of the United States have called Putin and congratulated him on winning the election. And I'd love to hear your take on a scale of 1 to 10. How big a controversy is this on a scale of 1 to 10? Him calling Putin to congratulation. Now, the optics surrounding that, Homeland Security Secretary Kristen Nelson said today that the 2018 midterms and future elections are clearly potential targets for Russian hacking attempts. We know that 13 Russians were indicted. We know that Russians apparently killed or tried to kill a father and daughter with some kind of poison over there. We're not 100% sure, but it's been attributed to them. So they're assaulting our democracy. They use this nerve agent. I love their election, by the way. Their election is the best. I'll give you some insight into the Russian election and how that went down. But supposedly the advisors of the president, national security advisors, handed him a card and a packet that said, do not congratulate. Do not congratulate. So I'd love to get your take on why did he defy the national security advisors, his own national security advisors? Why would he actively engage an enemy of the U.S. And say that without much criticism? And by the way, here's what he said. Here was the comment.
I had a call with President Putin and congratulated him on the victory, his electoral victory. The call had to do also with the fact that we will probably get together in the not-too-distant future so that we can discuss arms. We can discuss the arms race. As you know, he made a statement that being in an arms race is not a great thing. That was right after the election, one of the first statements he made. And we are spending $700 billion this year in our military.
Anyway, so that was the deal. Did he call the president? And he can push back. John McCain, an American president does not lead the free world by congratulating dictators on winning sham elections. And by doing so with Putin, whatever is in Trump's mind, he forces press team into more rhetorical somersaults to justify his behavior. So Sanders is there saying, well, Venezuela is different. An American president, he's allowed to make this call. And by the way, the United States once again calls for free and fair elections and stands with the people of Venezuela is what his Mike Pence is going to be saying in a call about the Venezuelan election. So there's a lot of disconnect here. And like I said, if you watch CNN all day long, this is what they're hammering, is that Trump ignored his advisors with this do not congratulate call, took in the shorts from John McCain. But then what props up is you start doing a little bit more research and you find out Obama called and wished him congratulations. I pulled an article from March 9th, 2012. And the headline is, Russian people and international observers may not see last Sunday's presidential election as Russia as legitimate, but Obama has now officially endorsed the return of Russian past and future President Vladimir Putin. President Obama called Russian President-elect and Prime Minister Putin to congratulate him on his recent victory in the Russian presidential election. So how do you separate that out? Is it because timing's different? Because we know that he went after our election and in 2012 maybe didn't have that information. Although in 2012, this guy was not soft and fuzzy, and he was a bad actor then, but this was the big Obama reset at that time. As far as the election, if you start looking into the election in Russia, it's hilarious. They only had one uncoopted candidate, meaning they line up candidates against Putin. And they're from every different, it's like pick one column, pick another column. They got somebody far left. They got somebody far right. They got all these different parties. None of them, of course, harshly accused Putin. They didn't have any kind of debate, although last election there was a debate. And the one guy who debated Putin had to flee the country with his with his family because he questioned Putin's legitimacy. The big problem they have in an election like this is because the citizens in Russia kind of know what's going on, and they only had one uncoopted candidate. Putin is concerned that the turnout isn't huge because he wants to have people turn out in big numbers so they can show it, and he can claim that it was a legitimate election. So they're busing people. The government, Putin's own government, is busing people to elections to have them vote for guess who. And then they even released some video of a couple ballot boxes being stuffed illegally to show that they're cracking down on that kind. You know, they released three locations in all of Russia had ballot box stuffing. They actually had, it looks so staged, they had the guys like looking around, picking up reams of paper, stuffing them into the ballot boxes, then looking back around again, which is, I guess, waiting for the secret police to come and grab them and take them away and then let them go privately because this was all set up. But it's hilarious, and they're claiming that 73% Over 73% of the population voted for Putin. The turnout was about 68%, but apparently they roused people up and had organized transportation of state employees. So if he's messing with our election, can you only imagine how he handled his own election? But on a scale of 1 to 10, is this a big deal, a huge deal, that he congratulated Putin? How big is this controversy? 800-222-5222. We can talk about that and some other stuff when Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after this. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Let's go to take all your calls, but let's start with Tom in Malibu. Tom, you're on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Good morning.
Hey, morning, Peter. You're talking about manipulating the weather. During Vietnam, you know, the CIA used to seed the clouds to flood rice paddies in North Vietnam. Basically, the idea was to starve the North Vietnamese. Hopefully they would, surrender with that. The problem was it hurt them in one area because there was a rescue mission called Operation Ivory Coast and then Soi Te to try to get POWs out. But problem was they moved them because that prison camp got flooded due to the cloud seeding. I don't know if you heard about it.
No. It was called Operation Popeye. I remember that. It was around.
It was Operation Ivory Coast. There was plenty, but the Ivory
Operation
Coast was
Popeye
the most famous.
Operation Popeye was the one where they were trying to extend the monsoon season.
They
did it without notifying the Secretary of Defense didn't know about it, and it became a whole deal. And there still is, if you look up, there's still an environmental modification convention is what they call it, and they've kind of made some agreements as far as what they can or can't do as far as seeding clouds and creating outbursts and stuff like that. But a lot of people don't know that went on, and that we actually have an office, and that we were aside from trying to go to the moon, we were competing with each other to try and flood each other out. Pretty nice.
Right. You're right.
Yeah.
Outstanding. All right. Thanks, Peter.
Oh, you're very welcome. I think one of the slogans then, believe it not, was make mud, not war, is the takeoff on the make love, not war thing. So yes, they have tried to alter the weather in a big way. And I think Kissinger knew what was going on there. Camille, if you can stay on for a moment, I'll talk to you next. I'll take you right after the news because I do want to talk to you about the president and the fact that he called and congratulated Putin on the election, and apparently it's caused a huge, huge, huge pushback. John McCain is upset about it. Some other GOP senators are upset about it. Democrats, of course, are upset about it. He should have never done it. It was a scam election. Look what he's done in to our allies in England. So I'm curious, on a scale of 1 to 10, how big a faux pas was this? And looking at the fact that Obama had done it also, maybe in a different context, maybe not, love to get your take. So Camille, hang for a second. I'll talk to you. We've got lots of other news stories to discuss, too, of course. 800-222-5222. We'll be right back.
KABC News, live and local at 10:30. I'm Jeff Whittle. We're learning more about the Austin bombing suspect who blew himself up early this morning as police closed in on him.
The Austin American-Statesman reports that Pflugerville resident Mark Condit was homeschooled growing up before receiving a degree from Austin Community College. There is speculation about some conservative political views he expressed on a blog for a school assignment when he was 17. But police caution they have not determined a motive for the attacks. Witnesses spotted a person entering a FedEx store wearing a crazy disguise, including a blonde wig and gloves, and called police, which authorities say helped ID Condit. They had already linked all the devices to a single bomb builder by the exotic and unusual batteries used. Condit had worked as a computer repair technician. I'm Leanne Tweeden, KABC News.
The clock is ticking for hundreds of L.A. County residents who will have to evacuate their homes before the worst of this storm system hits.
Torrential rain and mudslides are expected in areas of Cagle Canyon, Lopez Canyon, Little Tujunga, and portions of Latuna Canyon Road. L.A. County Sheriff Jim McDonald says those living there will have to leave by 6 o'clock tonight, so pack up now.
You are in harm's way, potentially. We would not ask you to leave your residence if we didn't feel it was very serious, and so we need to work together to be able to ensure that everybody stays safe.
Voluntary evacuation orders have been issued for certain areas of Burbank because of the Latuna fire. That takes effect at 8 o'clock. James Rojas, KABC News.
Now, a flood advisory has been issued for southwest Ventura County, including Simi Valley and Thousand Oaks, till 11:45 this morning as a powerful rainstorm moves through that area this morning. And Six Flags Magic Mountain in Valencia is closed today due to the rain, but tickets for today will be honored any other day of the year. Now, 2018 was supposed to be the first year that Magic Mountain would be open every day to try and compete with other year-round theme parks like Disneyland. And this check of the news is sponsored by Mike Diamond, the Smell Good Plumbers, Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. LA Kings lost to the Jets 2-1 in overtime in Winnipeg. Kings, though, still earned 1 point one night after they beat the Wild in overtime in Minnesota. Ducks go for their fourth straight victory tonight when they visit the Calgary Flames. Clippers lost to the Timberwolves 123-109 for their fourth straight defeat. Lakers hope to avoid a fourth straight loss when they visit the Pelicans tomorrow afternoon. That sports on the home of the LA Kings, 790 KABC. Traffic, a market check, weather, and more Tilden at 10 next. KABC News Time, 1032.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely.
I think he's afraid of the president of Russia. I think one can speculate as to why, that the Russians may have something on him personally, that they could always roll out and make his life more difficult. Clearly, I think it's important for us to be able to improve relations with Russia. But the fact that he has had this fawning attitude toward Mr. Putin has not said anything negative about him. I think continues to, say to me that he does have something to fear and something very serious to fear.
So that's former CIA Director John Brennan, who is the hypothesis that that maybe the president is fearful of Putin. The president did say that they're making plans to see each other. How is this different from Obama calling Putin and saying, well, I want to do this in view of a reset? Camille in Hawthorne, you're on Talk Radio 790 KBC. I hope you're dry in Hawthorne, although yeah. It is pouring here.
So far, so good. All right. I think what Obama was doing was called diplomacy, just like when Reagan told the Brezhnev or whatever, tear down that wall. You know, most of our presidents, and I go back to, I'll say Nixon, Carter, but anyway, you have to have diplomacy. You have to have diplomacy. But what the president, his ambiguity is so off-colored and so disturbing to me, because on the one hand, I heard for a whole year during the election that, and China, I'm going to deal with China when I get in, and China's ripping us off, blah, blah, blah. Then he turned around and says the other week that that China, he's going to be the president for life, and he thinks that's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But before
well,
I get
he's
to
about,
Russia,
just so you know, he is about to put sanctions on China in a big way, because what they're pointing out is they want to put an end to them stealing our intellectual property. When you're a business and you do business over in China, they will take your intellectual property, and they're investing heavily in corporations over here. I don't have the paper in front of me, but he just stopped them from making a huge merger in the telecommunications world, in the chip world, because if they are the leader in technology, if they're the global leader in communications, you can only imagine what happens. So he is, believe it or not, he's going after China now in a heavy-duty way. Just announced probably tomorrow. What's the date? Wednesday? Yeah. Tomorrow, I think, he's going to announce the sanctions against China, tariff sanctions. Now, that could hurt us over here, too. We could pay more for stuff. But the attitude there is we may have to struggle for a bit. We may have to suffer through some pain in order to reign in China. The balance there is he needs Xi to help him with North Korea. So there's a delicate balance there. So I hear you. I just wonder if this is he's trying to do the same thing that Obama did, a reset there, which is I don't want to make him my enemy, even though we've given big sanctions. I mean, remember, his administration has increased the sanctions on Russia and made it very difficult.
Peter, why is he so smitten with Vladimir?
That's the question. Okay, so that's the question everybody's asking. Is he
smitten with men in America? Why is that?
Wait, let's stay on Putin. Is he smitten with him because he's A, scared of him? Is he smitten with him because he's beholden? Is he smitten because there was collusion? Is there smitten? I mean, we don't know. Mueller keeps going. The Mueller investigation, I don't think, is going to be derailed. It will keep going. No collusion was found yet on any level, but we don't know what he's got. But it is interesting to see. I mean, CNN went wall to wall with this. He called Putin.
Yeah, it's so ambiguous, Pete. And you know what else he did? I thought that was so off-colored. when they took this photo, because there were so many leaders at this particular country, and Vladimir Putin was there, Donald Trump pushed somebody out of the way okay. so he could get in front, so he could stand by Putin.
I saw that.
That was creepy, Peter.
I saw that. I read about it. And apparently, hold on, because I want to know facts. Apparently, he didn't push the guy out of the way. It was validated later on that he didn't intentionally push the guy away. He was walking where he's supposed to go. The other guy, remember, with photos and stuff, you get a moment in time, a snapshot in time, and it can look.
Well,
the optics didn't look good.
It looks like he just knocked the guy out of the way so he can get. And then he's so tall. Oh, let me put it to you like this. Let me end it like this. When it comes to Vladimir,
yes.
he acts like a popcorn shrimp. But when he's back in America talking to American citizens and the people that help him lead the United States, now he's a fantail.
He's going after. All right. Look, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. But was it such an awful thing? What he did, like I said, Obama did it too. And like on CNN, you'd think that the world is ending because it's Stormy Daniels. And him back and forth those two shows. And by the way, those two topics, it's interesting because, like I said, CNN is going all Stormy all the time. And part of it is Anderson Cooper has this exclusive interview on 60 Minutes on Sunday that he's promoting. Anderson Cooper is also going to be interviewing the Playboy playmate, bunny, model, whatever, who claims that the president sexually harassed her. And on Fox News, they got their own aggravation because Ralph Peters, who is a longtime analyst on network and somebody who bashed Obama, has turned in his resignation. He said he's not going to resign. He can't stand being on Fox anymore. This is after 10 years there. He's a colonel. He was an analyst, and he said, without citing them by name, he wrote, they dismiss facts and empirical reality to launch profoundly dishonest assaults on the FBI, the Justice Department, the courts, the intelligence community in which I served, and not least a model public servant and genuine war hero such as Robert Mueller. I cannot be part of the same organization at this time. So now this is a guy who you should know, he spent two decades in the army, eventually specializing in Russian intelligence. He began appearing as a television commentator in late 90s with an exclusive contract on Fox in 2008. So he's been there for 10 years. He supported the invasion of Iraq, was a strong proponent of confronting Vladimir Putin. He's a fervent critic of Barack Obama. Some of the other things that he said, let's see here. He went after Bill O'Reilly big time. Here's what he said listen to what he said.
Real men don't hire hookers anywhere, ever. I don't care how muscular you are or how many guns you got under your armpit. Real men don't hire hookers. Bad judgment, too.
Oh, by the way, it's the name of my book, Real Men Don't Hire Hookers. But this was a guy who went after Obama and the administration for years. He also went after Tucker Carlson. But all of a sudden, handed his resignation yesterday. And he said that Fox News hosts, they're propaganda mouthpieces. So CNN and Fox taking it in the shorts a little bit, although I'm sure their ratings are through the roof, and I'm sure they're making tons and tons of revenue giving the audience what they want. So Talk Radio 790 KBC, the phone number 800-222-5222. We'll be right back. Talk Radio 790 KBC. Peter Tillman at 10 continues. 800-222-5222 is the phone number. So what are you going to do about all the upzoning that's happening in L.A.? You know, you got that Samuel Long, who's the developer of that Seabreeze apartment complex, $72 million. And because they changed the planning commission, they just overruled unanimously the planning condition, our friends in City Hall did. He made $25 million instantly. So now it's being investigated. He's been indicted on charges of attempted bribery and laundering campaign contributions. And you get the mayor and all these city council members who got the campaign contributions. Shouldn't we as citizens demand that they give back those campaign contributions? I think they should go back. It's about $600,000. Maybe they give it. You know what? Jack Humphreyville suggests to local charities would be a good thing. You got a bunch of them. Oh, you know what? Former city councilwoman for the harbor and now county supervisor, Janice Hahn, $203,500. That's a lot of money that could go to a nice charity. They should also, and I don't know why they wouldn't do this, but I'm not hearing anything about it. They should rescind a decision and put the zoning back to where it was when the planning commission, how about that? The planning commission's there. They give a unanimous decision and everybody says no. How do you have the guts to explain that? So Humphreyville also points out that they should tell the Department of Building and Safety not to grant a certificate of occupancy for the apartment complex, and I completely agree with that. The big thing is give back the money and send a message to the construction industry that they're not going to be bought and sold. And the big thing, and I've been saying this for a long time, we need an independent consultant. We need an independent oversight to look at campaign contributions with not only Seabreeze, but if they did it there, you know they're doing it other places, and that means they're selling out the city. And I want to know who was involved, what lobbyists, what consultants, what lawyers, where was the source, how did it happen? And you're looking at city council. They got to develop policies to change this. I don't know that they will. But why would you have a planning commission, an area planning commissions? Why would you have a weigh in anyway? They weigh in unanimously. They say, no. This not should not be zoned for that under no circumstances. And city council says, thanks for letting us know. Also, all the owners of the surrounding industrial and commercial properties said no. They went, thanks for letting us know. And they work for us, correct? They're supposed to be in our best interest. Dismantle the planning commission, because if you're not going to listen to their recommendations, then I guess you don't see them as valuable. So get rid of it. It can save us a whole lot of money. You should reach out to your city councilman person and say, give back the money and rescind, definitely rescind the decision to approve the Seabreeze zoning, which, again, we need to send a message to other developers and to city council that they can't just be bought and sold and look the other way. Now, I'm alleging that they were bought and sold with these contributions. Of course, you ask them, they will say what they always say, which is, no, that $180,000 had nothing to do with my decision. I listened to the council, and even though they all said no, I decided on my own to go the other way because, really? Have you met some of these Mensa members on city council? I'm surprised that they can lace and tie. I think several of them have to roll into their jackets like I did when I was an eight-year-old to put on their... It's raining today. I think Huizar and a couple of them are rolling into their jackets right now on the floor in the hallway as the wife is yelling, don't forget to attach the gloves to your jacket. These are remedial people. So they make the decision to ignore the recommendations of a planning commission and build a 352-unit residential complex, not because of the contributions, but because, dang, they stayed up at night, they looked at the zoning, and they thought, that planning commission is wrong. I got to overrule them for the good of the people of Los Angeles. Well, God, who knows how many other sea breezes are in the planning right now. Call your council person, say you want transparency. Give the money back, rescind the zoning for Seabreeze, and let's start this thing over again, okay? And any time, by the way, that a city council member overrules the city's planning commission, a red flag should go up. We should know, and they should have to explain how they got their information that it's better for us to ignore the city planning commission. Where did they get their source of information that something should go up in defiance of their own planning commission? All right. Talk Radio 790 KBC. You want to talk about that, or you want to push back? I'm wrong. 800-222-5222. Tell me where I'm wrong.